Well, here, I came over here. I want to give you each one of these.
Okay, okay.
That's what I travel to do. That's what I retired early to do. I preach the gospel all over America, out in the streets. I preach the biblical gospel, and what I have to do is tell people, remind them about what Christ did to save them, his death, burial, and resurrection, and repentance to him will spare you when you're born from above and you follow him. The problem in America is the culture has gone its own way.
Oh, yeah.
People don't know if they're men or women now. We're killing babies. We're corrupt. We're feminized. And then the other part is, I got to warn people about the church systems. The church systems, from Roman Catholic to Baptist to Lutheran to whoever, I don't belong to one of them, they're all corrupt. They're about money. They're about politics. And so I retired early and sold everything I own. That's where we live, in that little camper van. And I travel the country and I get to meet people all over and remind people that there's a day of judgment coming, a day of reckoning. None of us are getting younger. And faith alone is not going to save anyone. The Bible calls us to faith in Christ, and that faith leads you to repentance. And when you're born again, your desire is holiness and obedience, which means when you test these religious systems and you test your life, I used to be a worldly man, and I'm like, how can I say I know God when I live a worldly life? And I had to repent and turn from all that. And I teach on my website at don'tperish.com for free. I don't take anybody's money. How people can follow Christ according to the Word of God. And Jesus said an amazing thing, I tell people. He said in Matthew 7, few are going to find eternal life. If you look up that word few in the Greek, another word in English, puny. A puny number of people are going to find eternal life. Look around you. Most everybody in this town is going to perish in their sin. Why? They love their life. They love their flesh. They love the world more than they love Christ. And so I go to remind people that judgment day is coming. Tribulation's coming. The world's going to fall into great tribulation. All these banks are starting to close up. The day you guys, we're all older. I'm 60. How old are you guys?
I'm 80.
I hope I'm moving like you in 20 years. Okay, I got you beat a little bit. So what's going to happen one day? Here's what I'm not a prophet, but here's what I can easily predict. Ready? Right now, everybody has a certain amount of freedom in this whole world system because of one thing. Well, obviously, God is allowing things to go on, but one physical thing, cash. You got freedom because you got cash. They can't control your cash, can they? You know what's coming? Digital currency.
Yeah.
When they turn everything digital, it's going to be like it is in China. China is the model for the New World Order. The Bible talks about a one world system, one day taking over the globe. In China, they tell you where to live. They tell you where to work. They tell you what park to go to for how many hours each month. They tell you where to shop. And if you follow their orders and cogs in the wheel and you have 1.8 children and all this, you get bonus money in your digital account every month. If you go against them, guess what happens?
They
shut your digital account down and they go, we don't recognize you and you can't use cash for food. So you got to line up and go, I'll do whatever you say. So digital currency is coming. I don't know if it's going to happen in our lifetime. I don't plan to live to probably be your age. I don't know if it's going to come that quick, but it's coming. It's coming. And men like Elon Musk, they want it. You see what they're doing in the world? Have you seen this AI, artificial intelligence, and these robots they're creating? This is insanity. They are creating robots and AI technology that is so dangerous, even the men creating it that are supposed to be super smart scientists have gone on record to say, we don't even know what this thing's going to do. You know what it reminds me of? Remember COVID? They were experimenting with germs in China. They didn't even know what it could do. And it got out and look what it did. It caused a virus and all that. They're using this AI and they're saying that this AI could go into the internet system and basically take over and begin to do its own thing. So God's going to step into history one day and he's going to stop all this. And my job is to go into the world and remind people, don't live for this life. Don't live for the systems of this world. Don't live for the church systems. But read the scriptures. Find out where you are in Christ and live for eternity, because everything else is going to fade away, is it not? Any of this stuff, can we take it with us? Nothing. Nothing.
Right to the dust of the earth.
Yeah, exactly. I sold my homestead. I had an off-grid homestead. Lived in, you know, when we were there, peace and comfort and safety. And I didn't care about nothing in the world. But the Lord put it on my heart to sell it, to go. And people would say to me, wow, you sold that nice homestead to go on the road and uncertainty with your wife you don't know. And I just asked people, I said, can I ask you a question? I said, can I take that with me anyway? And they go, no, you're going to have to let it go one day anyway. I said, I let it go for the glory of God now, Because what am I going to do? Sit there? How am I going to meet you if I sit at my homestead? How am I going to meet you if I sit at my homestead and go hunt and fishing the rest of my life, right?
Kind of like Abraham.
Yeah, exactly. We got to go.
But I'm going to send you over and you don't even have no idea where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what's...
You ain't getting none of what you got there.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, because of Israelites' rebelliousness. Yeah, yeah, God had to keep chastising them. But America, when I go out street preaching, people don't like it. I call America Sodom too. It is.
It is.
And it's not God bless America. God's not going to bless America. He's going to judge America and the world. And people don't want to hear that because they think America has some special status with God, but it doesn't. It doesn't have a special status at all. Judgment's coming. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, Christ is coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. So a saving faith leads us to obedience. Most of the pastors teach you, just believe and go to church and you're fine, live the way you want. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you got to become a servant to Christ, become a bondservant. And if you don't know the word of God, I have a question. How can you serve God if you don't know the word of God? Does that make sense? Yeah, so I'm kind of back in my element here. These small towns, we've been in Florida preaching all winter because it's nice out and there's festivals everywhere. But man, these big cities are a lot different. Yeah. You get into the smaller towns. We kind of like the smaller towns, like you and I were talking about.
Yeah.
They're nicer as far as less crowds, not as much traffic. Hopefully not as much crime.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You believe in this one thing, one saved always?
No, sir.
I don't believe
that's an absolute lie from Satan. Yeah. Not one Bible verse tells you that. Let me ask you a question. Either of you guys ever been married?
I've been married 61 years.
Okay.
Same wife,
too. Right. Oh, same wife. Okay. Let me ask you a question. When you got married, the day you got married, was it a done deal? And did the preacher say, not what's your first name?
Alan.
I'm James. Did the preacher say to you, Alan, you're married now. No matter what you do, you'll always be married. You'll always have a wife. No matter what. What'd they tell you? Your mom, your dad, everybody told you, now you got to try hard. You got to be faithful. You got to protect her. You got to love her. She got to obey you. She has to be faithful. That's the same thing with God. How dare us tell God, I believe in you today. I got it locked up no matter how I live. I'm going to heaven no matter how much I sin. That is a lie from the pits of hell.
I gave him a suggestion. I said, if I go down there once saved, always saved. That's what they say. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
They said, I'm going to go down there to the liquor store, get me a fist of liquor, and go down to the Pine Street and get me an old whore, and I'm going to the motel, and God come get me there. What's going to happen to me? Oh, you're going to lose some of your reward at the end of this.
Lose some of your reward?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, you're going to lose your salvation because Paul says no idolaters, no drunkards, nor adulterers will inherit, or nor fornicators or whoremongers will inherit the kingdom of God. So that is, you know what Calvinism is? That's what a lot of people are involved in today, Baptists and other Reformed Calvinism, where John Calvin taught, you believe, you're saved, you're eternally secure. Well, we can have eternal security in Christ.
Yeah.
But guess what? In order to have eternal security in Christ, we have to be clinging onto Christ. If we let go of Christ and we go in sin, are we clinging on Christ anymore? I like to teach that Christ is a life rope. Imagine you're in a lake and you're drowning, and somebody throws you a long rope. Now, you can't save yourself. You're going to drown, right? Somebody throws you a long rope. That rope is Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, what do you have to do in order to be saved? Just look at the rope and believe in it?
You got to
grab a hold of it. And let me ask you a question. What if they're pulling you from 500 feet and there's a storm and there's gators coming to get you? Do you got to just keep holding on to it? Or do you got to go, well, I held on to it once. I'll let it go. I'm probably going to be saved anyway. You cling to that rope in holiness and obedience till what? You make it to the end, which is your death or Christ's return. This idea that, yeah, just like you said, this idea that you can just live easy believism, you can sin, that's fruit that you don't even know and love God if you want to live and continue on in sin. That makes sense? I teach about that on my website because I run into that a lot. I run into the easy believe, go to church, raise your hand, say a prayer, kneel at the altar, oh God, forgive me, and then I'm going to heaven one day. Well, if you're telling me you're going to heaven one day, you better be serving Christ today. If you tell me you're a faithful husband, you better be faithful to your wife today. If I see you with another woman, I'm going to call you a liar. Don't tell me you love your wife. Ready? We hear this all the time too. Ready? I love God in my heart. I love him in my heart while they live worldly, wicked, and sinful. And I ask every man, I go, if you catch your wife with another man, are you mad? And they're like, well, yeah, that's my wife. And I go, what if she looks at you and goes, well, I know I was sleeping with him and I like sleeping with him, but I love you in my heart. Is that going to make you feel very good? That you're going to say, you know what? you're acting like a harlot. Don't tell me you love me while you're laying with another man. Well, how can we love God as we live like the world? We can't, can we?
Yeah, I know you've never been around Pittsburgh. About 35 years ago, there used to be a preacher here. He wasn't the biggest church, but the biggest congregation. Anyway, he was sleeping with the piano player. I'm going to just tell you the whole story, man. And my niece was the secretary there, and she knew it. And I said, well, you just as guilty as him, you know it, but you sat on his preaching every day. But anyway,
he was probably married too, right? Was he probably married?
Yeah, he was married. And the girl he was jacked up with was married too. Oh. Anyway, he go out on singing crusades. His wife and her husband and that man, that preacher, were sleeping together. So he took a camera and went over and caught them together in the bed. And he went to the deacons in the church, and they told him that we're going to have to fire him. He carried a gun in the church now. And what's so bad about it, this is what got
Did gave. They fire him?
They fired him. Listen, he moved about 60, 70 miles away from town. And the church called him up and said, if you'll come back and preach to us, we'll build you a new church, we'll build you a new pastor, we'll let you be the pastor.
Well, you know what? You said that's 35 years ago. You know that happens all the time now. There's a pastor in Tennessee named Greg Locke. He's pretty popular on social media. He divorced his wife, married his church secretary. Less than 2 months later, he is now more popular than he ever was in all these people. He lost half his church, and then he gained even more people. This is how sick and demented people are. So that's why I travel and I teach people to come out of this culture, come out of the church systems, read your Bible, dedicate your life to Christ. And my website, if you go online, my website will help you do that.
What's so bad about people so dedicated to this particular preacher, they told him, if you'll come back to Pittsburgh, we'll be your church and the whole thing. Now, do you think that he ain't lost his salvation, but he lost some of his reward? He ain't lost his neck.
Yeah, he's going to lose everything unless he repents.
But they're begging him to come back.
He's not fit to be a pastor anymore, and unless he repents, he's going to lose his soul, because the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, there's no sacrifice for willful sin.
That's
so
right.
If I keep sinning, and God says, you got to repent of that, and I go, I'm going to keep sinning, Christ doesn't cleanse me from that. If the police show up and I go to court and the judge says, will you stop your crimes? And I go, no. Is he going to give me leniency? No. He can throw the book at me. Now, if I beg him for mercy and I say, I won't break any more laws, he might give me some mercy. He might give me some leniency. So this idea that God is going to be mocked, that I can live in my sin and continue on, is not true.
Well, anyway, like you said, Hebrews 6:6, when it says, if you will for your sin.
Yeah, Hebrews 10.
And he will, if it goes against God.
Yep.
It's impossible to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Hebrews 6 says it's to bring them back again. Impossible. You know the word. That's good.
I wouldn't tell this in front of my son. But the man got in my face. He said, I'm sealed.
Is that your son?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sealed no matter what. No matter what. He's that close.
Do you know what sealed means? I got articles on all this. You know what sealed means in Ephesians? You know what the word actually means? You're going to appreciate this. You'll remember this. It means earnest.
Yeah.
Do you know what earnest is? Have you bought a house before? Have you bought a car? You see a car you like, you see a house you like, and you go, I like it. Here's $1,000 earnest. Hold it for me while I go get financing and I'll be back. It's not a done deal yet. It's holding you. The Holy Spirit is holding us. Willfully, though, we have to walk with Him. We have a will. We can go outside of His will and leave. He doesn't. We're not prisoners. We're not held captive. And so that's just an earnest. It's a down payment of what's yet to come that we have to endure to. Jesus said, strive to enter through the straight way. Paul said, work out your salvation.
Fear and trembling.
Well, how does that fit these people that say you're in no matter what? They treat Jesus like a get out of hell card. I got him in my pocket. And that's disrespectful to a holy God.
I don't believe in the Baptist, Methodist.
Good. Do you go to a church system, sir?
Yeah, but I'm not a part of it.
Oh, what do you mean?
I'm not a member of the church.
Oh, yeah. Just remember, though.
The man's a real good preacher, but
yeah.
But that's the only thing.
Yeah.
I go to nursing home and jails.
Yeah. Yeah. Test all of their ways. And the only thing I would encourage you about is if they do false, unbiblical ways. Here's one. Pagan Christmas. Easter's coming, Good Friday. These are pagan holidays that God never ordained. So if a church system keeps those and you unite to that, you're kind of united to sin. Yeah, so that's what I tell people to do, is test all these ways. Jesus said, you must worship in spirit and truth. Yeah, it's so, so important. And people have forgotten that. They think God's going to cut them slack, but he's not going to cut them slack on Judgment Day.
You haven't seen a rabbit lay an Easter egg?
A what?
An Easter egg.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just paganism.
I got a good friend and went up somewhere north of town and went in there, and they were talking about they had a cross hanging out there. You know what they had hanging on it? A bunny rabbit.
Oh, that is so disrespectful.
You are right.
That is so disrespectful.
Right on top.
Yeah. Check out my website sometime if I can ever encourage you, all right?
Thank you.
Awesome. I'm going to take a couple pictures over there.
Okay.
Thank you.